Jack Welch didn't just run GE, he transformed it into a $400 billion juggernaut while fundamentally reshaping how America does business. When winning arrived in 2005, it wasn't another management tome filled with buzzwords and consultant speak. It was something rarer, brutal honesty from someone who'd actually done it. Oprah called it the best business book she'd read. Warren Buffett praised its practicality. What made it resonate wasn't just Welch's success, but his willingness to say what other CEOs whispered privately, that most corporate mission statements are meaningless, that protecting underperformers hurts everyone, and that work-life balance is ultimately your problem to solve. Nearly two decades later, these truths still sting because they're still true. Most mission statements are expensive wall art. An effective mission answers one question: how do we intend to win in this business? At GE, Welch's mission was ruthlessly simple: become number one or two in every market or get out. This wasn't motivational fluff. It was a decision-making framework that eliminated the comfortable ambiguity, letting mediocrity flourish. Values require everyone's input to create ownership, but most companies keep them vague enough to mean nothing. Bank One, under Jamie Dimon, specified exact behaviors: never let profit center conflicts get in the way, and don't forget to say thank you. This specificity eliminated wiggle room. For values to work, they need teeth. At GE, high-performing managers who violated values were shown the door. Employee surveys showed commitment to values directly correlated with improved financial results. The devastating counterexamples: Arthur Andersen abandoned its auditing mission for consulting profits, while Enron transformed without establishing appropriate values. Thousands lost jobs, billions evaporated. Defining meaningful missions and concrete values takes time, but this foundation determines whether you build something sustainable or a house of cards. Business's biggest dirty secret? Nobody says what they really think. People withhold comments, sugarcoat bad news, and hoard information. We've been trained since childhood to soften criticism and avoid conflict. We call it politeness, but it's actually self-interest, avoiding the messy cleanup that honesty creates. This silence is expensive. When candor exists, everything operates faster. More minds contribute, generating richer ideas and better solutions. Decisions happen rapidly because ideas are openly debated and improved. Costs plummet as meaningless meetings disappear, replaced by real conversations about what actually matters. Until the early 1980s, large American companies operated without candor, protected by limited competition. This worked fine until global markets opened up, then it became fatal. The key is making candor a cultural value. Reward it, praise it, and demonstrate it yourself. Early in his career, Welch was repeatedly told his candor was abrasive. He credits it with making his career work by bringing more voices into conversations. Though candid comments initially shock people, the risk is worth taking. Candor unclutters organizations, making them dramatically more effective. Differentiation sparks debate, but it's fundamentally about resource allocation: investing where returns are highest, cutting losses elsewhere. For businesses, this means transparent investment frameworks. At GE, it meant focusing on businesses ranked number one or two in their markets, fixing or selling the rest. GE divested small appliances and insurance while investing heavily in power systems and aviation, where it led. The controversial part involves people. Welch advocated separating employees into three categories: top 20%, middle 70%, and bottom 10%. Top performers receive abundant rewards: bonuses 20-40% above target, significant stock options, extensive praise, and priority training. The middle 70% needs systematic engagement through structured training and regular feedback. The bottom 10% must go. Critics argue differentiation breeds politics and favoritism, but candid systems with clear expectations, multiple raters, and documented metrics prevent abuse. Others call it mean. Yet it's actually fair. People know where they stand, unlike organizations where distinctions exist but aren't acknowledged. Managers who claim they're too nice for this system actually hurt everyone. This false kindness blindsides struggling employees with eventual layoffs and demoralizes top performers who see mediocrity tolerated. Leadership fundamentally shifts your focus from growing yourself to growing others. Welch identifies 8 rules that consistently worked throughout his career. First, relentlessly upgrade your team. Like the Boston Red Sox winning with the best players, successful leaders invest most time evaluating, coaching, and building confidence daily, during budget reviews, customer visits, even coffee breaks. Second, make people live the vision. Creating a vision isn't enough. Leaders must bring it alive through constant communication and aligned rewards. When Northwestern Memorial Hospital focused on excellent patient care from the patient's perspective, every employee lived this mission. Third, exude positive energy and optimism. A leader's mood is contagious. Upbeat managers create upbeat teams. Pessimists breed unhappy tribes. Fourth, establish trust through candor, transparency, and credit. Never steal credit or kiss up and kick down. Take responsibility in bad times and distribute praise generously in good times. Fifth, have courage to make unpopular decisions. You're here to lead, not win popularity contests. Sixth, probe with curiosity that borders on skepticism. Ask what if and why not constantly. Seventh, inspire risk-taking by example. Create environments where people feel safe taking intelligent risks. Eighth, celebrate achievements. Recognition makes people feel like winners and transforms workplace culture. Nothing matters more than getting the right people on the field. Start with 3 essential screens: integrity, intelligence, and maturity. Then apply Welch's 4E framework: positive energy, thriving on action, energizing others, inspiring teams, edge, courage for tough calls, and execute, delivering results. Add passion, authentic excitement about work and learning. For senior leaders, seek authenticity, market anticipation, hiring people smarter than themselves, and heavy-duty resilience, bouncing back from setbacks with renewed conviction. Never rely on one interview. Have multiple people meet candidates, exaggerate job challenges to test responses, and thoroughly check references. The most revealing question? Why did you leave previous jobs? Detailed answers expose expectations, values, and true motivations. Every hiring mistake is the manager's responsibility to fix quickly. Even experienced leaders only get it right about 80% of the time. Welch's fundamental truth: business success isn't measured by personal achievements, but by how many people you help grow. This principle guided every GE decision, from restructuring divisions to creating industry-standard development programs. This perspective transforms leadership through fostering candor, fair differentiation, and inspiring missions. At GE, workout sessions let employees challenge bosses openly, requiring immediate responses. When GE entered West Africa, despite high AIDS rates, they launched education programs and built medical facilities. In Slovakia, Chris Navetta turned a failing state enterprise profitable while building hospital wings and refurbishing orphanages. Welch's legacy isn't the $400 billion in market value created. It's helping leaders understand that their success lies in developing others. He implemented Session C, where leaders spent thousands of hours annually discussing talent. Despite his achievements, Welch acknowledges mistakes: bad acquisitions, wrong hires, 2 failed marriages. Leadership isn't about perfection, it's about learning and helping others do the same.